Hello and welcome to Block Fight Daily. Me, Corval, here today. We're doing another episode of DeFi Tuesday, although it's a little bit more general than that. We got Surge from Citizen Cosmos, and he's going to help us kind of wrap our heads around what Cosmos even is and what they do by popular request. Of course, we've also got DeFi Charles. And so this should be a great episode, everybody. We're going to answer some questions that have been at the front of our minds for a while. So, Mikey, let's go into the show. Take me off the screen. Onboard here. Pay gas. Bridge there.
Pay gas.
Deposit. Harvest. Withdrawal.
Pay gas.
And God forbid you haven't verified every contract along the way. DeFi can be a real hassle sometimes. But with Rainmaker, it doesn't have to be. Rainmaker's new wallet makes it simple by extracting away all the worst parts. No more bad transactions. No more gas fees. MPC technology makes private key management as simple as classic password recovery while maintaining self-custody. Pick your strategies and invest with one click. Deposit funds directly from your bank account. To access the Rainmaker app, click the link in our description and put in the code BLOCKBITES. Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo.
Charles.
What's Surge. Up? What's up?
You guys ready?
Bro, Corval, every time you do an intro, your mic is like super shoddy. I don't know if that's just me, but you kind of cut in and out every intro.
Was it doing so. It partway through too?
That was yeah, like at the beginning, part. it's like, oh, you broke
yeah.
block bites.
Every week.
So,
I think it's because whenever we play music, I got to do a silent one in now. It's our streaming platform. Sorry about that. Sorry if it threw you guys off. We had such good energy before the show.
But, it has good energy, bro. The intro has good energy, man. All around, man. So don't worry about
Surge.
It.
That's what I like about you, Surge. You're so positive. That's what I've gotten from the last 30 seconds.
I'm not, man. I'm one of those old crypto anarchist dudes, like, you know, like, with, like, really... Can I swear? I'm sorry, because I swear a lot. Is that okay?
We'll allow a couple.
I'm sorry. So I'm going to fucking swear a lot. So I do swear a lot. And, like, I'm, man, you will see that I'm not that positive, man. I try to be, but I'm not.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I can't wait to draw some of that negativity, dude. Some of that realism. So how you doing today, Charles? You excited? You ready?
Yeah, man. I'm doing well. Yo, check out this shirt I got on. These are my handprints from when I was a tiny child.
I was about to say, that looks like a kid's shirt.
That's right? A lie.
It is a kid's shirt. No, I swear to God.
I'm serious. Nice, man.
I stole it from my parents. And I'm repping Tiny Charles right now.
Tiny Charles. Nice. Cool. So let's get into some serious heavy stuff here. Surge, so you got Citizen Cosmos there as your name. Could you kind of give us like an understanding of what Citizen Cosmos is?
Sure. For us. Sorry to cut you off there, man. So Citizen Cosmos was the name that actually it was a generated name. It was generated by not AI back then. Not many people used this like 3.5 years ago. I mean, you could use some version, I guess, of ChatGPT, right? But it wasn't that popular, of course. That's only like in the past half a year or so it was generated by one of those website generators, and I was inputting like the text that I think that are going to be relevant to what I'm doing, and that's what it came up with. And ironically, considering we were in Cosmos, around the ecosystem of Cosmos at the time, and still are, of course it matched a lot. Now what do we do? Well, couple of things, really. In short, our goal is to help bridge layer zero. By layer zero, we're referring to communities of different ecosystems. So, and to cure tribalism. Now, how do we do it? We have different tools. We have refused the advertisement model, so we're trying to monetize strictly via Web3. We started monetizing our validators, because we run validator nodes, via, like, for example, we have media, we create content, we have a podcast, which is called Citizen Cosmos, which is about people, not about projects, which is interesting, again, for blockchain. Mm-hmm. I guess not everybody in blockchain talks about people. We have streams, we create other content. Like I said, we run nodes, we run RPC nodes. We're building a game in the background now. We're doing some off-ground, off-chain stuff. So basically, a lot of bullshit, but yeah. Long story short, helping to build communities. That is like the one way kind of description.
Very cool. So you guys are kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Hands in a lot of mice. Very cool. Yeah, because I saw you guys were running validators. I was seeing that, so I'm assuming those are Cosmos validators.
So currently we're running about 7. Yes, they are in the Cosmos ecosystem, but some of them are, for example, like Evmos, they are Ether and Cosmos based. So you do have to run some clients and some infrastructure apart from Tendermint. So it is also, we are hoping soon to launch, of course, an Ether node, but considering one of my like wet dreams to move everything off cloud into, I have some bare metal, mm-hmm. but primarily it is unfortunately cloud. And one of my wet dreams is to stop doing that and have everything there. So yeah, it's not as quick as I guess for a lot of people. It's just like, yeah, let's run nodes. And I'm not like that. I'm a bit about values, and it's a pain in the ass to be about values. I don't know if you know about that, especially in crypto.
Yeah,
it's a pain in the ass, man, really.
Yeah, definitely is. It's tough because everyone's chasing the profit motive, so you got to move quick. You got to move really quick if you want to capture that. So this might be too broad. It's too broad here, but could you just tell us more about Cosmos? So like kind of what sure. sets Cosmos apart, like what the ethos is, maybe even some of those values.
Sure. I think that's originally what attracted me. Like I've been in crypto for a while. Doesn't matter, but a long time, more than 10 years, to be honest with you now. And back in 2015, I believe, I saw the paper on Tendermint. And back then you had the similar things that were working. Of course, Ethereum, you had BitShares, right? Which was like, look what happened to that. But it is the original like kind of smart, okay. Debatable, again, cutting corners here, but you had BitShares, then you had Ethereum. Mm-hmm. And that paper of Cosmos that came out back then, you know, it was talking about the internet of blockchains, kind of, to speak about blockchains that were on a protocol level would be able to interact with each other, exchanging data or in more simple way, not just tokens, but any type of data between them, but on a protocol level. And it was talking about sovereign at the same time, sovereignty, which is important, like, to me, mm-hmm. Because a lot of the protocols that came after and offered or proposed those ideas, the technologies that they were proposing to use, weren't really proposing sovereignty exactly. There was somewhere a man in the middle. Now with Cosmos, it still is. To somewhere you can argue like that, but it's way more decentralized because you have like a protocol which is called IBC, and mm-hmm. Inter Blockchain Communication Protocol, which is what allows those blockchains that use it to communicate between each other, again on a protocol level, so it makes the whole difference. And basically that vision attracted, I think, a lot of people back then. It was like, you know, also the vision of real POS, real proof of stake. To be honest with you, to cut corners short, you know, when I was talking, like I said, we have a podcast, and one of the founders of Cosmos, we had them on some time ago, and he basically said, you know, what we were trying to do was recreate TCP/IP. Mm-hmm. And the idea of Cosmos was built just on that. It was literally, let's take TCP/IP, the technology we all use today to have our internet, and let's recreate that in terms of blockchain. And at first, I know that it didn't work very well. According to the story, they weren't even sure they want to do an open blockchain. And to be honest, the original idea was not. But then one thing led to another. And what got created was Cosmos, but a lot of people get confused because Cosmos refers to, and I'm sorry, I'm almost finished, 30 seconds. Cosmos refers to several things at the same time. You have Cosmos, the Cosmos Hub, the first blockchain within the Cosmos ecosystem. You have Cosmos Atom, the token. And then you have Cosmos SDK, the technology which everybody builds their, you know, similar blockchains on. And then you have the Cosmos ecosystem. So the word Cosmos could refer to any of those four things at different times. And I'm going to put a full stop here because I'm getting too long.
Oh, good, man.
Corval, I'm going to jump in here really quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that kind of meshes with what I've heard a lot of people describe Cosmos as, which is like, it's not a chain. It's not even like a grouping of different chains. It's more of like an idea is kind of what Cosmos is, if you have to put like a word on it. It's like a bird. Yeah.
It's a plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you said it's like okay, TCP IP, but go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, no, no. That's a good question. Shoot.
No, no, no. I mean, I thought you were in the middle of something. I was just pointing out. Like,
oh, yeah. Like I kind of was. Yeah. I was going to ask what the role of Cosmos Hub is, because I know there's supposed to be, there's no like central point of Cosmos. You know, it's a network of like mycelium freaking, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Nice, or like a spider web or something like something like that. So what is the role of the hub? Now, I know it was supposed to be sort of the point of communication kind of that all of these chains were built around, but now they communicate amongst themselves and there isn't like a ton of activity on the hub compared to the rest of the chains combined. What's the role of the hub at this point?
I think you pretty much kind of partially described it in your own question, but I'm just going to like highlight it. So you're absolutely right. You know, the role of the Cosmos Hub is like a port city. And this is not my words. I'm going to steal that analogy from somebody who already used it to describe. But basically, imagine if you have different cities and then you have a port city. And a port city is a city through where there's a lot more going in and it has a lot more connection. So the Cosmos Hub is trying to become that port city. Now, in Cosmos, it's very important to remember that a zone, hub, or a blockchain are all synonyms. There is no difference between those words in terms of technology. It's just some people say Cosmos Hub, some say blockchain, some say zone. But technologically, we are talking about the same thing, like literally zero differences. So I'm gonna be honest, there has been a lot of concerns, especially for people who have been holding Atom since the beginning, that the Atom itself, the Cosmos Hub itself, is not as competitive and not given as much technology or features, let's say technological features, as it could do in order to attract more value and more usability to itself. Now, lately it has been changing. There is replicated security, there is interchain security, which basically allows, for example, there's what's called the Atom Economical Zone, the IEZ, which is just started. And that basically allowed, and there's already like now Neutron, which is one blockchain. Then you have soon Stri joining and a couple or more, which is basically blockchains renting security from the Cosmos Hub, because Atom itself is so expensive. So it's like, what, number 20 or 22 on in total, the Cosmos Hub on in terms of coin market cap. So they basically given in return part of their stake, reward stakes, to the validators and the delegators. And basically, instead of taking care of the security, they become part of that zone. And yeah, so that's one. Also, supposedly, of course, Atom is supposed to capture the value of fees. Of course, the more that usability grows, the more that grows. And actually, Atom has naturally, and I'm going to say just this one thing, and again, people will stop. And this is something not many people talk about, but a lot of people were concerned about the Atom economics and about, oh, what are we going to do? Atom is never going to work. Now, I have two arguments for and against, but I'm just going to say the one for. Without people doing that, what happened when IBC started to work and more zones and bridges like Axelar between Ethereum and Cosmos, for example, and other blockchains started to appear, what's happened is that Atom automatically, well, you can see that it's not like on purpose, but what happened is people don't want to sell it. People started to lock it in pools because Atom is kind of like the word of truth within Cosmos, you know, like Ethereum within Ether. So people, so automatically Atom suddenly became, and people didn't even still didn't notice it, but that's what made the in my opinion, the staking and inflation parameters grow. And yeah, anyways, I'm going to put a full stop again because I'm again going too long. So let
me pull it back a little bit just to make sure I understand this completely. So a lot of the value of the Atom token, right, is derived from people renting essentially the security of Cosmos Hub. It's like validation.
Future. I mean, you have now only two use cases and now, one, and there's two more add-in right now that those amounts are tiny, but yeah.
And my question about the fees, right? So it's just fees for activity taking place specifically on Cosmos Hub, right?
That's a good question. Another good question. And again, a question that has actually been debated again now. It was debated like years and years ago. And I'm going to be honest with you. In my memory, and this is something I have somewhere deep inside, maybe I'm wrong about that. Originally, the Atom was supposed to capture fees from all of IBC transactions. And of course, it's not like that. You have Atom only capturing fees. I think you can actually choose. You can on most on some or most blockchains, you can choose the fee token. But there's been propositions to make the default fee token for IBC transactions the Atom. You have MapOp Zones, which is one of the biggest explorer for IBC. And on there, you can actually see how much volume in transactions and how many transactions which zone produces, how much is all together, what is the connections like, because you can actually see which zone is connected to which one. And of course, different ones are connected to different ones and some are connected to the same ones. But yeah, so to answer your question, what I'm saying is more still of just happening now. It was for a long time an idea. It's been implemented finally. But to see the fruit of that, I think will take a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah. I see a lot of comparisons, or people trying to compare, like in the chat and also just in the industry, comparisons between Polkadot and Cosmos. And to me, it's like a bit of a paradox because, like, Polkadot is kind of trying to sort of go down the middle between ETH and Cosmos. Like Cosmos is trying to allow for like complete freedom for anyone who wants to come in and make use of their SDK to just sort of like spin up a chain and do their own thing and like take complete advantage or take complete, you know, have freedom with the tech. Polkadot has these like parachain auctions and, you know, people who are building parachains have to essentially pay rent to DOT holders because like you said, there's been sort of proposals around making Atom the fee token for like all of the IBC interactions. And DOT kind of has that there. So I mean, in my mind, it's a bit of a paradox because it's like you want, I don't know, I guess like, if I was an Atom holder, I may or may not be, but like if I was, I would want, you know, I maybe would want a piece of that action. But also like the whole ethos of Cosmos is like, okay, we don't want to have to make people who want to build on top of this tech. We don't want to have to make them pay rent to Atom holders. We don't want to like impose this sort of like this a bit of a moat or impose this barrier to entry. Like DOT has. So it's kind of a paradox because DOT has more restrictions on like who can actually build a parachain. But it gives this like utility side to DOT where it's like, you know, if you're a DOT staker, you're going to get some of that action. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I can reflect on that. I think that there's a few things to say here. One is that, you know, the roll-up idea of Vitalik, the roll-up vision, sorry, of Vitalik, which has been there for many years. Not everybody understands it, and not everybody understood the envisioning. The guy is really something, really. But if you go back as far as 4 years, he's already fucking talking about those things, and it's astonishing that, you know, he could envision that. It's really is something else. But that's actually very similar to what is happening on Cosmos now. I would say that that's the most similar thing. Now, that doesn't cancel one or the other or Polkadot. Now, the second thing I want to reflect on here, you know what? No, I'm going to reflect on it at the end. The second thing I want to say is that, you know, if we were talking like water aside kind of thing, you know, let's break the waters and you say, oh, people want to have DOT because, you know, blah, 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 whatever. The same thing you would today, the reason you would want to have Atom if we're talking about value capture, though I hate talking about it and I usually don't, is because simply because right now Atom is being taken to different, like, you know, new chains and being locked in different places, and that's is going to be bringing that value up. In fact, you can transfer Atom and Ethereum between Ethereum and Cosmos in seconds, you know. I mean, of course, we are talking about bridges that are still centralized, but they are much better, you know. Axelar and Gravity are not exactly centralized, they're just hard to call them completely decentralized, but it's still a bridge, you know. A bridge still connects two points. It cannot disappear unless we invent telepathy, right? So and this is actually brings me to the third point. You know, it doesn't matter how you look at it. You know, you have Ethereum, which is the architecture of you know, more resembles one computer, you know, where all the computation storage and bandwidth is done in one place, right? Then you have Cosmos, which has got a slightly different architecture. You have DOT, NEAR, it doesn't fucking matter, man. End of the day, nobody's going to remember those. People might remember them and might know them because blockchains have a different lifespan. But, you know, it really doesn't fucking matter because it's about connecting them all together and understanding as long as it's open, verifiable, it's got some fucking values to it. The token holders are not complete, accountants. Let's hope. I really don't want to see a chain with all the tokens are accountants and lawyers. You know, I can see that, you know, like, but I would like to avoid that as well. And I've personally, you know, I have left chains before. If I think that that doesn't match my values, I'm going to sell everything and leave. And that's what I was referring to. But anyways, long story short, in my opinion, if you want to capture value, I think the worst thing you can do is to put all your eggs in one basket. That is really the worst thing you can do. If you want to capture value, diversify, because you're going to make a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. The best traders in you know, and I'm talking about real life, not Web3. The best traders do what? 60-65%? And we're talking top traders of success. Mm-hmm. Not 70-80 even. You know, that is astonishing numbers. So diversify.
Okay. I feel like it's a very safe answer. pretty good.
It is. It is.
Yeah, I get it. No, I mean, good point. I mean, we don't want to tell you to buy Atom. We don't want to tell you to buy Polkadot on this show. We want to talk about kind of like what's going on with them, really. And you can come to your
own. We want to tell you to sell Polkadot. No,
So, you know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around Cosmos a bit here. So is it, if it's like just an underlying protocol, so essentially just like open source, like guidelines essentially, right? Like, does it need the hub? Like if the Cosmos hub went away, could you still launch a Cosmos chain?
Yeah. Long story short, yes. I can give you the long answer, but long story short, yes.
Okay. I think the short answer is okay for now, because I have a follow-up question. Doesn't that completely essentially devalue like the Atom token, right? Like, there's no reason to hold Atom if you're bullish on Cosmos technology, you don't necessarily need to hold Atom. More an investment in Cosmos Hub specifically.
It's a great question. Well, this is why what I was trying to explain, that Atom has today, you know, and this is a lot about value. Now, what is value, right? Value is, we can explain it in different ways, but there is one proper explanation, right? How does value happen? Value occurs when you can buy goods and services without a third party. The more goods and services I can buy with something without a third party, the more value it occurs. This is why the dollar or the euro have value, not because of the army or the US government. Those bullshit explanations really are like up here. It's because it backs the world fucking trade. So if I went to $10,000, went to Zimbabwe today, they would accept it. If I took 100,000 rubles and went to Zimbabwe today, they would tell me to shove it up my ass because nobody wants the fucking ruble, right? Mm-hmm. So it's because he knows that. Why do you go to, if you go to visit I don't know, Kenya or any other country, and you're European or American, you're most likely to go to McDonald's, not because you like it, but because you know that for $2, what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. So why? This is what I was talking about, Atom being spread around all those chains and all those farms and all those locks and blah, 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 and all those initiatives, sorry. Atom has today proved that it can accrue value without any additional tools. The additional tools are already there and coming. You have, like I said, interchain security, replicated security and fees, and more things are coming, the staking, blah, blah, blah. But it is already, and again, though, going back to your question and removing my kind of Cosmos hat and being realistic, mm-hmm. you could answer your question in a very simple way. Yes, you could remove Cosmos Hub and it would still be there. But today, if you removed, because, you know, imagine if on Ethereum, and you can, by the way, on certain Geth chains, you know, pay gas without using Ether. Now, mm-hmm. does that mean you don't need the actual Ethereum? You don't need actual Ethereum to exist? Debatable. And again, of course, I'm cutting technological corners here, you know, in mm-hmm. terms of technology. But just for the sake of it, you know, imagine you could pay gas in Chia or in DAI or in USDT for mm-hmm. and everywhere. Does that mean if you removed Ethereum, would it still be the same? I don't know, because people like to put something in the center. And if that starts to accrue value, like Ethereum or Atom itself today do, and one good, by the way, proof to Atom accruing value, as much as I, again, can argue the other side very easily, is that there is more Atom going, more Ethereum and Bitcoin and everything else coming into Atom rather than Atom going out of Cosmos. And that's very easily to check. You could look on the DEXs very easily, the numbers and the explorers, and you can see that people don't want to get rid of their Atom because they understand that there is more to it. It's, you know, it's like holding Ethereum in 2000. I'm not saying that as that will repeat history. I can admit to you that I have more Ethereum than I have Atom, but you know, that's because I understand. Oh my God, yeah. But you know, mm-hmm. I, dude, you know, life is life, you know. And like, I'm not saying that I don't want to hold more Atom. I do, and I am accruing Atom because mm-hmm. I believe in it. But yeah, again, I kind of went off topic there, but yeah.
Oh, I get it. I think you kind of. I think I'm kind of getting like where, because you're saying like the value, right? Like we agree, like the value is really kind of derived from, for a currency, like what can I exchange it for, right? Uh-huh. Like you're saying, like a ruble can't exchange it for much, especially with sanctions on Russia, right? But the US dollar, I could buy literally anything. I could buy anything in the world that I want with the US dollar. But with Atom, I'm thinking from what I'm hearing, primarily what you're doing is you're betting on that interchain security and people using Cosmos Hub as kind of like, it's so like I could launch my own chain using Cosmos tech, right? But do I actually want to spend all that time and money figuring out validation, security, and launching my own token for it? Or do I just want to use Atom and Cosmos Hub, right?
Even more, you are absolutely 100% correct, but you know, you could go even more that just staking on Cosmos. You have liquid staking, by the way, which has been, as far as I'm concerned, pioneered by not Cosmos, but by Lido, which is P2P, which is coming also home, has a home at Cosmos. Anyways, long story short, it allows you, you know what it is, right? RPL or Lido Finance, I don't need to explain that, right? Yeah. So, but basically today, even without that, what you can do is you can stake Atom, which you will get like 19 or something percent for, transfer the rewards, bridge them to Ethereum or something like that, or buy Ethereum on Cosmos, bridge it to Ethereum, bridge Ethereum, and you'll be winning, you know, like, so, you know, you could play around. Basically, by staking Atom today, you would probably be able to get more reward in Ethereum. If you were, let's say, in Ether Maxi, and you were just holding Atom just to get more Ethereum, you could actually do that. But, of course, this is danger zone, you know, like we're going into, you know, the ape methods, right? But yeah. simple methods, but yeah, but you were absolutely right. Sorry, it's just like to add something.
Okay, no, I appreciate it. You got anything to add to that, Charles?
No, that made sense. I just wanted to
fuck this guy.
No, you're killing it. No, this is very interesting. And Mr. Clean touched on a point that I think this kind of relates to. But I'm a big fan of optimism as well, and their super chain idea. And it seems like there's, I don't know, it's very, a lot of chains, a lot of teams, a lot of networks have their own ideas about scaling, and about creating this like network of their own sort of chains. And OP optimism is coming at it from a slightly different angle, but the big advantage that I think optimism has is that ETH security layer. And I wanted to get your opinion on like, okay, so proof of stake, it's like using, it's like implementing a monetary system to secure a network. And with Cosmos, each of the pubs or chains, or I forgot the other word, but they have their own zone. They have their own security like system. But as far as I understand it, they kind of piggyback on each other, or sort of like the security of one is going to be complemented by the security of the other.
Not unless they choose to, but not unless you're right. renting, not unless you're becoming, but this is a very new thing. So each zone, each blockchain, sorry, can choose to become either POA, proof of authority, like Binance, right? So for example, they have one chain on Cosmos or Huobi or OKX, or proof of stake. You could have a set of validators which is whitelisted or not. And then you could rent as well. And this is a different story. So you could become, and that means you're completely piggybacked. And that means you are completely dependent on these guys. But you could also be piggybacked. So it gives you the option. That is the whole essence of Cosmos, is not to stick just to that, but to be with choice.
A lot of flexibility. Okay. Yeah, cool.
Very flexible chain.
I gotta say, for me, it's hard to, I'm gonna be honest, even though I don't think I'm doing that bad, but it's hard for me to defend Cosmos, because my personal vision and the vision of my project is not about making Cosmos number one. It's about saying that that doesn't need to be like that. That's why I'm so attracted. That's why our house as a project is Cosmos, because we understood that the values and the ethos, even though they're not followed completely by everybody there, you know, and some people, you will see tribalism within Cosmos. Don't get me wrong. There's tribalism within Cosmos. The Atom holder, of course, everybody shields their bags, man. Come on. If I have Atom, people are like, yo, man, fuck the other chains. You know, we don't need them. Let's make Atom like the default token. Let's follow Polkadot. You know, look at Ether there. And these people, I mean, you know what I have to say to these people? Go fuck yourself. I'm seriously. Because like, end of the day, like instead of, and I know that I shouldn't be like that, but like end of the day, in my opinion, it is the tribalism that could potentially kill this industry, in my opinion. If there is something that can do it, it is tribalism. And I think that, you know, trying to protect your bags and then saying that I like technology, this is but this is what I need, you know, is, in my opinion, the worst lie you could lie to yourself. And that's why I'm saying, you know, fuck these people, because I would much rather see people start to name things for what they are, you know, and if something is like a scam, you know, and the person says, oh, look, I'm a scammer, but if everybody else chooses to follow the guy who says he's a scammer, then it's kind of, you know, but then if you choose to, like, you know, be part of an ecosystem, which originally the ethos were like, let's remove tribalism, let's, you know, like, everybody united, and then suddenly, like, you have some people, and I'm not saying that's everybody, but there's very certain individuals, you know, and this is who I'm referring to, and then they're like, oh, but no, we should put this at number one, and this is kind of like, dude, like, I really don't get it, I'm sorry.
I get it. The maxis really get you.
Yeah, it's another, like, paradox, where it's like, Cosmos ethos is about, like, open source collaboration. That's like the main thing, you know? So it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like a Cosmos maxi is kind of like an oxymoron, because like, if you're passionate about Cosmos's vision, you can't really be a maxi, because it's all about like, okay, let's all just collaborate and build the most, I don't know, just like build the best thing we can.
We haven't talked too much about Polkadot. We'll probably talk about them later, but what the feeling I'm getting here, Serge, the feeling that I'm getting is that Cosmos is, and like you're saying, it's aligning with your ethos here. And from what you've just described to me, Cosmos is kind of like the open source solution to like the layer zero concept. And DOT is a lot more of like a gated solution, right?
You see, I call layer zero the community. It's interesting. I had on several podcasts, different people who refer to layer zero, and some like to refer to layer zero as Cosmos or Polkadot or Ethereum. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't like that because, I don't know, this is a personal thing, so I refer to layer zero. But you are right. To answer your question, it's just a different concept. It's just a concept of, instead of doing that, again, what is a blockchain? A blockchain is just a fucking computer. It's a distributed computer. The question is how you design it and how you want to make it run. So you could make it run where all your bandwidth, computation, and storage are done in one place, like it's done in Ethereum. You could outsource something like then L2, right? You could basically, though, we are not doing anything. Blockchain is not doing anything different from the way computing was developing. The way computing was developing back in the 80s, 90s, and in the 2000s, in the beginning of the 2000s, it's still the same, more or less, the same thing. We are now going to modular. This is exactly how computers were developing, man. You could predict those things like very early. The question is which one of them are good, which ones are bad, and which ones the market are going to accept, and which ones the market is going to throw away. That's, of course, the bigger question. To me, again, it's all about the layer zero, and I, again, referring to the community here, because if there was nobody to use that, and if the layer zero is bots and ChatGPT, then that's the community. Then the community is those bots. But there's still going to be somebody who has to use those things. And that's who I think should be starting to understand. And slowly, I think we're coming to there. I think I'm seeing more and more people jumping on the same bandwagon in a good way. You know, Bankless, for example, Laura Sheen, right? What's her name? Laura Sheen, right? She was talking as well. Vitalik himself, you know, mentioned other projects, and it's good. It's good. Slowly we will get there. You know, slowly. You know, you cannot have, you know, one single brand of television and or car or whatever. It doesn't work like that. The USSR has proven it with socialism or communism or whatever. It doesn't simply fucking work. You know, there are open mechanisms work much better.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Open mechanisms work much better because they open up for competition, and competition creates, what do you call it? Better products. It's better products.
Absolutely.
More diverse system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Verifiability, competition, easier management. You know, it's like people, why, you know, this big stigma. There is no viruses on Linux. Of course, there are, but, you know, there is this like famous quote that some people say, but why? And the answer is very easy, because, you know, Windows, let's say, for example, that I don't know how big is the security team, or global security team of Windows. Let's, for the sake of it, say it's 1,000 people, which is probably not, but just for the sake of it, let's say 1,000 people. Now, what about Linux? Well, every fucking user is on the security team. Of course, the fucking updates are going to happen every second, and there is less viruses, because by the time one distributive of Linux, you know, if something small in Linux is affected by virus, it will be updated, and the kernel doesn't need to be updated with. Whether on Windows, you know, if Windows 7.27 suddenly has a virus, by the time this is updated and goes globally all out, and all this bureaucratic processes, yeah, this is kind of showing the open source and closed source ethos in action. And the same, I mean, you use a television, you use a car, you use all those things you use because open source technology exists. If it didn't exist, you couldn't be using the stock exchange. You wouldn't be flying rockets today. We wouldn't be putting the lights on and off if open source technology didn't exist. There is 80% of open source tech being used in the world. 20 is closed source, but we're so used to fucking Facebook, YouTube, and other things that we are thinking that all the world is like that, but it's not. It's actually 20% to 80 open source.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I remember people telling me that Linux is like the kernel that like something like most 90% of computers or something run on. Are programmed at the core on Linux for that very reason. Like you're saying, it's completely open source, so it's kind of more resilient. Ironically, it's more resilient. You would think that if everyone can see the code, you'd get more malicious actors, but in reality, what you get is more people constantly improving it because they like it.
And I think, like, coming back to blockchains and what it actually gives and why I say decentralization maxi, even though it could also be argued with that, well, that doesn't make sense, but I can tell you what it, why in my head, at least, again, for me, it does. Because when I say decentralization maxi, like the same with open source, it allows you to create anything. Real true decentralization allows you to create anything, including something not decentralized. So when, for example, somebody, let's say Charles tomorrow or Corval tomorrow, say, yo, dude, I think we should be using banks. Now, a decentralization maxi, a real decentralization maxi, wouldn't say to you that's bad. Because if you want to use banks, but you don't want to touch me with that, well, do whatever the fuck you want. Keep on using those banks. Mm-hmm. Keep on using checks. Some people still fucking write checks out, right? So, you know, keep on doing that. That is real decentralization. Just don't affect other people with it. Now, this is why I say that open source is good, because open source allows you to create something that can have any shape or form. And if you want to, you know, make it verifiable, you make it verifiable. If not, you don't. So it's up to you. Mm-hmm. Whether with closed source, you don't know what's in the black box. You have no fucking clue what's in there. Only what you believe.
Nice, nice. Okay, cool. I want to bring it right back into Cosmos real quick, just because we're getting some more questions. Okay, Mikey just hopped in.
Well, real quick, I just have a quick question for the panel.
What's up, Mikey?
Hello, sir.
Mikey Mr. loves Got to surprise us.
Mr. Got Plenty, who we love here on BlockBytes and also in the chat, he's been asking pretty much the same question over and over again, and no one's really answered it. So let me just ask this real quick. Two questions for the panel and for Serge. The Atom token, what's the point? And then, besides that, Atom or Dot?
We're trying not to.
So, we did answer, but we're just being smart. We're just being smart asses, you know, like. So, second question, Atom or Dot? Buy both, dude. There is the answer. First question, what is the point of Atom? Just like the point in any other cryptocurrency. Mm. Just like in any other. If you want to use the Cosmos Hub, you need to buy Atom. That is the simplest answer you can get. If you want to use the Ethereum, you need to buy ETH. If you want to use Bitcoin, you need to buy BTC. Simple answer is that. Everything else is an addition and a bonus to my answer.
Fantastic.
Pain in the ass answer, I know. No, I get it.
No, it's good. I get it. It's the right answer, honestly, isn't it? You know?
Mm-hmm. It is what it is, you know, that's the truth. I mean, we could start now adding things to that and saying that, oh, if you want to use, I don't know, well, one thing that I didn't say, which again, I don't like talking about value occurrence, but one thing that I didn't say that I understand we are talking about that, for example, Atom gave a lot of fucking airdrops, I must admit. And I gotta say, some of them have been fucking fat, bro, like fat. Like if you were holding Atom since the beginning, just the Osmosis airdrop itself, which is like the Uniswap of the Cosmos ecosystem. Boy, man, some people went up to six figures just with that airdrop. And I'm not talking for a short period of time. Yeah, of course, now it dropped. But imagine that airdrop alone had other airdrops on it. And then you could farm, of course, Osmosis. And at the very beginning, the APR was crazy, of course, because they wanted to attract more users, like usually with DEX's tokens. Not a smart thing, of course, but whatever, debatable. Long story short, we could add this into that, and we could add other things into that, like testing Cosmos SDK, for example. It's not real, the proper answer, though. Like that's, so the only use, the real reason is because you want to use the Cosmos Hub. That's the reason.
Hope that's clear for you guys here.
I wanted to ask a bit about, I think you touched on this earlier, but about Atom 2.0 and that whole proposal that didn't get passed. And I mean, I think a lot of people are expecting it not to be as insane, like as the changes to be as like crazy as they were. But it basically was a whole revamp of how like Cosmos works or how Atom fits into the whole thing. So do you want to talk about Atom 2.0 a little bit and maybe what you liked about it and what you didn't like about it?
Sure. So we did in Citizen Cosmos a lot of coverage. We did, we have a debate on Atom 2.0. Didn't turn out too much of a debate because most of the guests were on one side. But at least there was a discussion, I guess. Then we covered it in numerous episodes, on some spaces as well, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Long story short, what do I think about it? Well, the proposal itself was crap. There's several reasons. One, as somebody who has launched projects before, for example, I launched an ICO in 2016, was my first project launch. You cannot introduce so many changes because you cannot measure them. It's not about blockchains. It's about when you introduce 20 or 30 huge, 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 huge changes, how the fuck are you going to measure the which each one of them, you know, actually did? That's one. That's the least of the pains. Two, there was a very not nice part of that proposal, and I don't remember if it was called the allocator or whatever it was called, but actually, by the way, a different proposal did pass something similar, but part of that proposal was to allocate a big part of the sum to an entity which is on not on chain, but you know, you couldn't, like, and yeah, it was a bit strange. I don't know, it felt like there are beneficiaries with self-interest inside of the inside of the proposal. Now, generally speaking, I'm completely against anything to do that that has micromanagement. And by that, what I mean is, for example, multisigs on top of on-chain governance. Now, I know you guys don't have it in Ethereum, but you have it in different ways. You don't have like full on-chain governance in Ethereum, right? But that's the way Ethereum chooses to work, and it doesn't lie about it. It says this is how it works. If you want to join it, join. If you don't, not happy with it, don't join. Simple as that. So Atom 2.0, good. I can see the question from Philip there as well. It depends what you, because today Atom 2.0 is referred to so many things that I cannot say yes or no directly because people will think I'm referring to one or the other thing. Now, personally, I think that accruing, you know, giving more tools to Cosmos Hub to accrue more value is good. The point is that some of the proposed tools with that proposal were a bit centralized for my liking. Now, as a validator, by the way, I voted yes, and we gave a very big explanation why we voted yes. And I was explaining that as a validator, I don't want to put sticks into the wheels of the car, of the bicycle that I'm driving or helping to drive. Now, I disagree with those changes as in the way they were proposed, but as a validator, I think I should be helping the chain to go in the direction it chooses to go. Now, if that direction goes against my ethos and values, I could just like kind of remove my validator and myself from helping to secure the chain. At that point, though, I didn't feel like it was completely going against the ethos and values, but I did disagree with them. So again, I know I'm kind of trying to sit on two chairs here at the same time, but I don't feel like I am. I feel that I'm just being honest, and I'm saying that, look, I don't think that the propositions were good, but as a validator, I think that if that's what the chain wants to do, then who am I to say to judge it and to say no? Unless they're doing something real to damage and to kill itself, which they weren't at that point. So that's why.
So, all right. So Atom 2.0 is like essentially like a broad series of proposals, many of which you do not agree with, one of which is going to give an allocation to an off-chain entity that is kind of suspicious.
It was one proposal with that part of that in it.
Okay, okay.
It was one proposal.
And so what you're, what you've been saying is you don't necessarily agree with it, but you feel like you have a responsibility to go through with it if that's what people are wanting in the Cosmos community.
Yeah, if that's what the chain chooses to do as the validator of Cosmos Hub. I mean, one thing, for example, we had an example on Juno where there was a proposal to basically rewrite the chain because there was a whale which gamed the airdrop, and then the chain chose to take the tokens away, like really remove them, you know, like kind of like bank style. Yeah, and to me, that was the end. To me personally, I didn't care about what was the price. Like, I just sold all my tokens. This is something like extreme in my opinion. In this case, it was just a proposal. Whether or not it was going through, it wasn't harming the chain directly. Even though I was against it in terms of like ethos and values, still, yeah, it wasn't like that. So yeah,
and that's the true definition of really enjoying a chain for its decentralization aspect, in my opinion. You know, like Serge just said, he was like, you know what? It's what the chain decides, man. It's what validators vote on. It's what people vote on.
I think validators should not be allowed to vote. You want to hear an extreme opinion? I think validators should not be allowed to vote.
What are you talking about? Why can't
validators are centralized, self-interested entities. They have no interest in the development of the chain. I mean, I'm a value guy. Whoa, thank you. Okay, good. But you know what? I interview a lot of validators. Today, I have probably the biggest real one-to-one, like in-depth conversations with the top validators, Stakefish, P2P, whoever you want, including Ethereum, non-Ethereum, really asking them questions because I want to know as a citizen, and blockchain is a country, I'm a citizen, if I'm a token holder, where the fuck is my money going? Are they building an atomic bomb? I don't know. Are they fucking like supporting Kinchim Zero, whatever his name is, right? Like, I don't fucking know. So like, you know, a validator is at the end of the day, a fucking centralized self-interest entity, and I don't think they should be allowed in voting. Yeah. I think it should be a council.
I get that. That's a good thought.
We'd like to think that like validators are like, when I got started in crypto, I was like, oh, validators are just like a bunch of individuals who are like staking their one ETH and they're all just like people that have their normal lives. But it's like, oh, actually, it's more like, you know, giant real estate companies who own all the property.
I run a node on Harmony Protocol still. You know,
Mikey, you're a giant corporation that doesn't have our best.
You're a giant corporation, bro, just like me. Nah. But if you think about it, look, Mikey, like seriously, I mean, your node, I mean, I don't know what is the case there, but you know, if you have a node, you're probably taking those profits to yourself, right?
I run my node for money, yeah.
So there you go, you're a centralized self-interested entity.
I won't dispute that. But I also
nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it.
But I also run this node to participate in governance.
Yes.
So it's interesting that you say that validators should.
I gotcha.
You know, because like,
it's an opinion. I don't think so.
No. I like that opinion. You know, like the reason that I do it for self-interest to make money. I don't make a lot of money on Harmony anymore. Obviously, but I also do it for voting rights, you know, because when HIPs, you know, Harmony Improvement Proposals, when those come out, they rely on the validators to vote on the direction of the chain.
But as a token holder, you know, even if you're a validator, just not being able to vote, but you're a token holder, you can still vote. Nobody's taking away your governance rights.
Sure. Yeah,
you could still be a validator, not vote, but have an account and vote from the personal account that's taken on that validator. It's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Serge, what do you think about quadratic voting?
Because I
like quadratic voting a lot, and we covered Sommelier last week, and they run their own like Cosmos chain, and so I'm
some comments are good, man. Some comments are good. Love it.
But like Sommelier runs a chain under Cosmos, and they have governance, and they do quadratic voting, and it seems to work really well. And I don't know, I really like it. So I think there's a place. There's some sort of like things that can be put in place to sort of curtail the level of like centralization that gets put around staking, or at least not give them as much power as they have now.
I love the idea of quadratic voting. I think it's a great thing that the theory, I think this is why, you know, I don't remember if I said it before we kicked off or after, this is why I think Ethereum is still the central of Web3 space. All the innovations happens here, bro. Whether it was most of them, okay, sorry. Most of the innovation is happened and tested on Ethereum. So like quadratic voting, and you know, there is other many things you could introduce to improve consensuses. Now, it's about understanding what consensus is, and many people have different opinions about it. And I'm going to say another thing, which is completely extreme, probably. And a lot of people are going to be like, oh my God, I already said that. So to me, consensus is the same. Like, for example, to me, Tendermint or Grandpa or whatever the name you give to a consensus is the same as what you call democracy. Socialism or democracy or any other way. It's the way we as society come to agreement about something. Now, And Tendermint today, with all its fucking faults, with all the faults, with all the centralized validators, it's still doing better than Democracy ever did. So I think we're doing good. I just don't think that those things, because a lot of people think and believe that Democracy is something that's going to happen on top of that. And I think that it's already there. You have already a mechanism in place which allows the token holders or citizens to come to an agreement about something. We have on-chain governance, right? Whether it's to vote something in and out. This is exactly what we do with Democracy. You know, whatever. Let's not go into politics. Yeah. Full stop, man.
I could go for hours about governance. And I mean, that's really kind of that's what I was going to school for, kind of. The concept of governance and like what the different pros and cons are of different systems, because I could make an argument that validators are actually going to make the better decisions for the network as a whole, as opposed to every single token holder, because every single token holder doesn't necessarily care if the network survives long term, just so long as they can make their nut, you know. Like if I own, you know, if I'm just like a random whale, I'm not staking it, validating, I'm not counting on additional future income. I just want the short-term profit. I could vote on stuff that just gives me money immediately.
That's right? What validators do. They vote on things that they give them short-term profit. It's like saying a judge can easily make a better decision than me. It's like saying that my president makes a better decision than me, but he doesn't.
That is the idea.
No, but there's no such course. There's no such learning. There's no such course to run countries. There is no politician course. Politicians are lawyers or managers or whatever, hopefully, and not from somewhere else. But at the end of the day, they are still all fucking idiots that steal money, that think that will make decisions in self-interest. And they don't make better decisions, just like validators don't make better decisions, in my opinion. And I know, you know what, I was in ETH, it was Lisbon Blockchain Week. About half a year ago or something like that. And I was doing like on the road kind of show, and I was trying to ask the same set of questions in about 10 or 15 minutes to different builders. And some of them were actually guys from big Ethereum validators. And I was asking, one of the questions was this, would you prefer a community of 5,000 people, you know, that are cannot code, but there's a community of 5,000 people, or would you prefer a small team, you know, of two people, they're very efficient, very quick, you know, but can do anything you want. And it was interesting to hear what was the decision of different people and the explanation of why they think this group or that group would make more efficient or better judgments on the development of a particular project or a product or a network or whatever. And, you know, again, we are talking about kind of politics. So I think that I can make the best decisions for myself.
Yeah.
And nobody else.
I believe that. But can the guy down the road make the best decision for me?
No. That's the question. No, he cannot. And he's running the fucking validator. He should not be then, you know, it should be me.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good conversation. That's also analogous to on the app layer, where like you have a team and you want the team to succeed, but you also want the team to be, you also want the project to be decentralized, and you can't really have both in that first like initial trying to establish themselves phase, where it's like you can't just create a protocol and decentralize it immediately, because then a bunch of bad decisions get made. It moves too slowly. They can't make decisions that need to be made in the moment, and it's just inefficient, and then they die because they can't make these crucial decisions quickly or in the right way. So like, I don't know, I hear this, I saw a comment earlier, someone said, you know, governance is a scam or whatever, like the governance idea. I don't know if they're joking.
It is.
But I hear a lot of that, like where it's like the idea of governance is just like a myth or whatever, and I agree to a certain level. But how can you get to a decentralized system without some form of governance? I'm not saying that one exists like successfully now, but I think there does exist theoretically a governance system that enables decentralization. You know, like,
you know,
it's hard to get to a decentralized, you know, ecosystem if you don't have the.
If you want to be decentralized, you have to have governance. You have to have holders of your token voting on the direction of the blockchain. Voting on,
yeah, or at least users or some.
Yeah.
I think now, I think we're getting into semantics here a lot. I think we get into the semantics. I can tell you though that in 5,000 years of our history, of our minute history compared to the universe, which is literally, you know, if you did a cosmic calendar, you would realize it's fucking second, bro.
Cosmic
calendar, and you know, you would realize one thing, that there has not been one single fucking case. Not a single one. You can right now name me one, please. I would love to hear it. Where a person stood up and said, not willingly, not by choice, I love my fucking government and everything my country does. Not a single fucking person on their deathbed stood up and said, yo, guys, I fucking love them. Thank you for doing, changing my life for the best. Do you know why? Because it's a fucking scam, bro. And I'm not saying governance should not exist. I'm saying centralized governance should be minimized to the minimum.
And I do have to just jump in and address Bsot. I agree with you, but I think that the idea of governance that doesn't necessarily entail that there has to be the wealthy controlling the network. I think that's like that runs rampant today.
I think Bsot's right. I think Bsot's right where he says currently. I'm not joking. Governance is just the wealthy controlling the network. That is
currently,
absolutely
today it is.
Yeah.
Today
but
it is like that.
It doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. I don't think.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. That's exactly what I'm trying to get at. It's like, you know, you were mentioning protocols before, and I actually have a very good point about the governance. And you know, I do think there was a very cool article by A16Z. I don't know if you're listeners and viewers subscribe to their blog. Now, fucking big piece of advice, really. They have a really cool blog. They really have a big research team. I am really shitting their blog, not A16Z here.
Yeah,
they really go deep in. Bro, no, seriously. These guys go deep into some fucking shit. And one of the articles they had a few years ago was about tokenomics, about how the different founders, and they had exactly this point. They were talking about protocols, that protocols like Ethereum, for example, it's better to decentralize straight away. Whether applications where you need to make efficient decisions, for example, Citizen Cosmos is a project that consists of different things. Soon we're launching a DAO now, and slowly we're gonna give to the DAO, I do wanna release it. I do wanna like, but today you're absolutely right. I'm the beneficiary and I understand it's not a protocol. It's a product, and it's a very narrow product and a very narrow direction, even though we have hands, like you said, in many pies. You know, those pies are on the same table. So in order to make those decisions efficiently and quickly, right now it's centralized. And to but a protocol, I think we can, like an Ethereum case, you know, I mean, conspiracy theories aside, you know, I think it should be straight away.
Okay.
Agreed.
Contract developers.
I will say real quick also, like with the whole, since we've gotten this topic of governance, I don't know how it happened, but I think governance is a fantastic thing to talk about. I will say, you know, governance is powerful. And an example I have is Harmony. Again, you know, I run a node on Harmony.
Not advertising.
Farmony 1, delegate all the 1 tokens you don't have.
Well done.
Why would you ever buy any of that anymore? But they had a big proposal coming up. It was a HIP 30, Harmony Improvement Proposal 30, that was going to basically slash validators' rewards to help pay for, as they said, the bridge hack to help recover, right? That didn't pass. That didn't get the proper votes, the proper amount of stake voted to pass, because most validators were against having their own rewards slashed. So governance is a powerful tool. But as Bsot said, and as we've also talked about, it the majority can control the future of the chain, but if you get enough people rallied around a decision, then Harmony is a great example of how smaller validators can beat the whole, and that's governance.
Amen, governance.
Amen. I would love for that first to be the first step, the small validators to push out bigger validators, yeah. And the next step being validators should not touch governance anymore. It's only accounts. I would love for that to happen, but maybe one day, on you know, maybe we can do a chain together, me and Mikey. And
hey, hell yeah!
And, you know, we start with the.
I
don't know what's going to. Yeah.
I will say it's, Stator launched EthX very recently, and they have some good, like, guardrails in place to really help decentralize ETH staking. I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see what happens there because I think they're doing some good work with EthX.
Have you ever heard of holographic consensus? It's an Ethereum thing.
No.
It's a thing that didn't become big.
You just made that
no,
up.
No, bro. Holographic, seriously.
Holographic consensus?
Wait. Am I really confusing some? No. You make me question. You see how you. This is how governance works. You make me doubt myself straight away. And I haven't. No. I think it's called holographic consensus. And it was an Ethereum thing, which was introduced by, in 2018, I believe, in 2019. And basically, what they tried to do was to play with this. And basically, what it did is introduced a betting layer on top of the governance layer. So basically, now you had another token, and you could bet on the game theory issue. You could bet on the outcome of each proposal, which would give people much more increased participation in governance because now they can extra incentives, mm-hmm. And B, it was more interactive. So I think that there is a lot of ways which we have not yet. For example, Citizen Cosmos, we are doing a DAO. Now, I interview, like I said, people, not projects, and I interview CEOs, founders, and what we do with each podcast episode, we started to do like some time ago, we mint NFTs. And one of those NFTs, there is 9-inch collection, one of them goes to the guest. So that means my DAO is like manually selected over the course of 3 years or 4 years of people who I wanted to be of. So there are many, many ways of approaches, I think, and there is no right or wrong one. This is bringing us back to the conversation about decentralization and architectures. But I do definitely agree that I think governance has been touched, like this in mm-hmm. blockchain. And, proof of stake only been working for how long? Three and a half years, really working. I'm not talking about delegated proof of stake. Mm-hmm. Even that 5-6 years, whatever. We're still young, super young, man.
That's a great point. There is a future where proof of stake isn't the normal way to
absolutely
run a blockchain absolutely anymore, right?
Anything is possible. I kind of want to wrap this show up, guys. We're at the hour mark. I'm sorry, the conversation is going great, but I feel like we got to wrap this up. We're reaching the limit here.
Let's vote. Let's have a vote.
Let's vote, dude.
Really easy.
I want to
wrap this up in a nice little bow, though, for our viewers. Kind of what we learned today through the show, and kind of what I'm taking away from Cosmos here is I think it sounds more resilient than, say, like Polkadot or whatever. I think the token is a little bit more shaky if you're just a profit chaser, but I'm not trying to give financial advice. And it seems fast, pretty stable because of that decentralization. That's pretty much what I got. You got anything else you want to add, Charles?
No, that was awesome. Okay, conversation. Cool. I want to thank,
One point. Yes. Cosmos is literally the only fucking project, and this is true. And again, I can argue the other side. Cosmos is the only fucking project known in blockchain that since the beginning has completed its promised roadmap and the white paper.
Oh, wow.
The only fucking project completely, and it's already completed. There's a new one now. Not even Bitcoin did that.
So there you go. Cosmos can also set goals and complete them, which is rare.
I will say personally, before we go, this is not financial advice, but I do enjoy Adam and the Cosmos.
Mikey freeze for just me or for everybody? Okay.
He froze. He froze at the right moment.
I'm back.
kind of back.
My back?
Yeah, I think so.
Am I still frozen?
Yeah.
No.
It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell.
Okay, yeah, you're not frozen.
Get us out of here. Oh, am I not? Okay, so good.
Yeah. I want to thank Serge, too, from Citizen Cosmos, and Charles from Charlie DeFi. Serge, do you want to plug your show, your podcast? Maybe some people want to get more informed on Cosmos or
dudes,
everything.
If you want to get not on Cosmos, we don't focus on Cosmos. Dudes, if you want to get more informed, one thing I want to tell you, information is free. So if anybody, including Citizen Cosmos, tells you an opinion, don't fucking question it with like a book, really. Opinion leaders are fucking dangerous. These guys are cool. Citizen Cosmos is cool, but still question fucking everything everybody says to you. And if you want to learn about a lot of things and a lot of insights in terms of technology about people's story, www.citizencosmos.space. And from there, you can take on and dive the rabbit hole. And yeah.
Fantastic.
I will also say real quick before we hang it all up. I enjoyed having Serge, Citizen Cosmos, on the show today. My favorite part about him is that he is not a maxi.
Yay.
He's not a chain maxi. He's not an Ethereum maxi. He's not a Cosmos maxi. He's just all about good tech in the,
all about
and
the base
and how to make it best. So.
Perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, I did enjoy as well. Loved it.
Nice.
Charles, you want to plug Big
I
Red?
I dropped the Citizen Cosmos Twitter in the chat, by the way, everyone.
Thank you.
And yes, I have a space in 45 minutes with Beebus and Gains Network. We're going to be talking Ethos Reserve and Gains.
I thought that was last week. Didn't you?
It was supposed to be last week. It got rescheduled. So hop on in 45 minutes on Twitter. Also, Big Red podcast episode tomorrow, talking about Velodrome V2 with Inverse Finance and Alex from Velodrome and Beebus. So that's a big, big red episode. And a Ramsey space on Thursday. Okay, that's it.
Swag.
Shout out, guys.
Fantastic.
Shout out for listening. It was cool.
Shout out
Bob Marley.
Last thing I want to say, guys.
I want to say the last thing.
Well, Mikey, I'm going to take you off the screen in a second. 1 second. One more word out of you. I want to plug tomorrow. We got Nick Drake on, so be sure to tune into that. And also, you know, thank you everyone for coming in. Thanks for everyone listening. I want to thank all my guests, Mikey, Citizen Cosmos, Charles. Really appreciate it. All right, Mikey, I'll let you have the last word.
Shout out the blockheads in the chat, man. This is a great chat today. Bob Mango, Besot, Philip, Mr. Got Plenty. I'm so glad that you guys come every day. Lord Drake on. Yes, Lord Drake on Mr. Got Plenty. Yes. Yes, it's great.
Terrible last word.
All right, fantastic.
Charles!
All right, Mikey, can you shut down the stream, man?
Shut down the stream. Emmett, where are you at, dude? Are you in here? Shut it down. Get it out of here.